We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Jack Manuel here for another Brooklyn Buzz and a somewhat eventful trade deadline for the Brooklyn Nets. At least some moves were made. I guess we'll get stuck into them in a little bit. But I guess it's for me, I was chatting with Nick and me and him were going back and forth. And I sort of was saying that I thought that this Nets deadline, the 2024 deadline, was defined more by the moves that weren't made than the moves that were made. So, Nick Claxton retained. Dorian Finney-Smith retained. Now, looking into those individually, Nick Claxton seems to be a priority for the Nets moving forward. You know, there was exploratory talks or little tricklings here and there from different sources, Mark Stein and others. You know, the OKC were linked, but I don't think that the package in return was commensurate for giving up a talent the likes of Nick Claxton. So he seems to be a key cog in the Nets' future. Dorian Finney-Smith being retained. Now, look, there was a first. Should the move have been made in the off-season? You know, around that sort of... around the draft where there was probably a decent semblance of value for DFS and the Nets could have moved up in the draft, got some extra assets here or there. Look, maybe. I probably would have pulled the trigger there if it allowed the Nets to get like a Cam Whitmore or any of those sort of dudes, but that's much to do about muchness, because I think he's someone who is on an incredibly high value contract. So I think that's something that also needs to be considered for him and his future within Brooklyn, however long it will be. He should retain that value. Now, obviously, hopefully he gets back for that ankle injury sooner rather than later. It seems to be a bit more serious, one of the more serious ones in terms of his recovery. But DFS and his future within Brooklyn is assured for now. Now the big ones. Spencer Dinwiddie was offloaded to the Toronto Raptors for Dennis Schroeder and Thaddeus Young. So, look, the world's worst kept secret is Spencer Dinwiddie wasn't long for Brooklyn. Now, he's obviously now going to be on the buyout market after Toronto, you know, didn't seem to have him in their plans. But the Nets getting a Dennis Schroeder, his contract is sort of what gives them the flexibility. Also, he's an okay player. Like, can't remember what a specific platform it was that sort of compared the stats. They were like nigh on identical. So this season, Schroeder's averaging 13.7 points, 6.1 assists, shooting splits of 44, 35, 85. Like, fine. Nothing to really write home about. He's a good enough player. Like, if he starts over Cam Thomas, I think Nets fans, including myself, will erupt. But he's a stopgap sort of replacement, and you could do worse than the likes of a FIBA MVP, one of the world's best. Obviously, there's a little bit there that's somewhat noisy, but he's been a good player, a serviceable player, both in Lakeland, for the Raptors. So he's in the last year. He has 1 year left next year, so that means gives the Nets a bit of flexibility. So it means that like re-signing Clax won't be onerous, giving them some money to maybe package together a deal for Donovan Mitchell, which seems to be growing by the day, those sort of rumors, despite the fact that I don't know why he would want to leave Cleveland, given how good they've been of late. But in saying that, Schroeder as a player is similar to sort of a Spencer Dinwiddie. Fluky three-point shooter. I think he has more defensive chops when he does switch it on. Got a bit of attitude about him. You know, him and DSJ will be a bit of fun. They'll be talking smack, I think. The most memorable moment of Dennis Schroeder against the Nets of late was him and Kyrie during, going back and forth, you know, talking a bit of trash. And Dennis Schroeder was doing it while wearing Kyrie's shoes, which was I thought was quite funny and ironic. But that was move number one. And a good enough move. You know, you were offloading Spencer Dinwiddie. You know, Spencer was going back and forth with a few different Nets Twitter accounts yesterday. But, you know, wish him all the best in Toronto, despite having a bit of a lackluster end to his Brooklyn Nets tenure. But overall, he was a positive Brooklyn Net, and he'll be remembered fondly within the Nets uniform because of the revitalization of his career. But the big guy we got in this one was Thaddeus Young. Put him alongside Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. That graphic is one of the iconic graphics in NBA media history. But look, he's with Daron Sharp out, nice little sort of backup big, you know, means that we don't have to play Ben Simmons there exclusively. So I think that's a nice little piece. You know, he is aging. He's on an expiring contract. He's, you know, 35 years old. 6.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 2.9 assists, 1.1 steals. Shooting nearly 63% from the field, though, in 21 minutes over his last sort of 15 games. So, look, he's been productive enough. And, you know, another former Brooklyn Nets great. You know, from 2014-15 and 15-16 seasons, he played over 100 games for the Brooklyn Nets and was a good piece. And I think Nick and I, in different trade deadlines and off-season previews, have talked about a reunion with Thaddeus Young. So he'll be a nice vet, locker room sort of presence, I think. And he'll play some minutes sparingly here and there. And hopefully he can be a productive force. But I don't know how long he'll be in Brooklyn and how large his role will be when Daron Sharp gets back. But yeah, a nice little piece nonetheless. After the break, guys, I'll dive more into the Royce O'Neal to Phoenix and what the Nets got in return of that. Give a little bit of a grade overall on what the Nets and their general trade deadline, and then a couple of little listener questions here and there.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Royce O'Neal, ladies and gentlemen, is no longer a Brooklyn Net. The pump fake dribble, one dribble, three connoisseur is heading to Phoenix for Jordan Goodwin, Cade Bates D-up, and 3 seconds. Now, the nature of those seconds is going to be interesting because the Suns have a little bit here and there. Let me just quickly try and find what those second-round picks are. But it's basically the Nets have like the entire future of Phoenix tied to them. Like it's an interesting one, but yeah, who knows? I don't think, as I've seen yet, the nature of those second round picks tied to the Nets yet. But it's funny, the Nets have 9 second round picks to go with their 11 first going through to 2031. So there is a chest of assets that the Nets can use when pulling the trigger on what is going to be, you know, a superstar trade at some point in the future. The nature of that superstar remains to be seen. But in saying that, I think this is a fine enough move. You know, I think Royce could have been gotten for a first if the Nets had to pull the trigger in the offseason, maybe last year. So maybe Sean Marks waited too late, but I think a lot of GMs have been guilty of that. So maybe should have pulled the trigger a little bit earlier, but 3 seconds and getting those seconds is hopefully one of those is a little bit of a juicy one, but we'll see. Wait and see how that one pans out. Oh, I did find the nature of those picks, guys. So 2024, it's protected 31 through 54. It's via San Antonio. 2026 is a Detroit, Milwaukee, or Orlando one. No protections. 2028 is a Memphis one. No protections. In the same year, there's a Boston one protected 31 through 45. And in a Memphis one in 2029, no protections. So you'd obviously prioritize the ones with no protections. But we'll wait and see how that pans out. And might have to do a special bonus buzz on those second rounders. But in saying that, Royce was great. A wonderful glue guy for the Nets in his tenure here. Great locker room presence. The coaches loved him. A lot of fans loved him. Bit fluky, bit inconsistent. But, you know, a good, solid guy that you'd love to have on any other team, though. Disagree with Bob Myers talking about his perimeter defense. He hasn't been a very positive perimeter defender for quite a while, but is a solid post defender, holds up against the likes of, like, you know, Julius Randle. Much better against bigger defenders because he's a quite strong, good center of gravity. But in saying that, what the Nets get in return, Cade Bates-Diop, Jordan Goodwin, is, you know, these sort of vet minimum sort of guys, so you don't really... You know, read much into them, what their futures will be in Brooklyn, how much they will play. They'll provide a semblance of contribution here and there. But in saying that, who knows? You know, the Nets, Nick pointed out, he wanted to sort of share that the Nets' three-point shooting is not much to ride home about after Royce is leaving. Now, Royce was fluky, but I think Royce would hit the timely sort of three. So it'll be interesting to see how Jacques Vaughn, you know, constructs lineups here and there about... You know, with these new guys and the depth of the roster, you know, I think it now gives an opening to Jalen Wilson to play some consistent minutes, which I hope severely, sincerely that he does get that time. But, you know, overall, if we're talking about what happens, this is what happened with the Nets overall, guys. The Nets got 3 second rounders. Hopefully they're those unprotected ones. Dennis Schroeder, Thaddeus Young, Jordan Goodwin, Cade Bates-Diop. And out the door went Spencer Dinwiddie, Royce O'Neal, and Harry Giles, who was waived. Now, a little note on Harry Giles. He had a nice little performance, little spark performance the other night where he put up like 8-4-2 in some nice little junk time. He really endeared himself to Nets fans, including myself. You know, he probably could have gotten more minutes here and there in the absence of De'Aaron Sharp, and I wish that he had of. But I want him to be on an NBA roster somewhere because I think he's got something. And he provided a lot of energy. He was a really good bench guy, great glue guy. And I love the story of him coming back. So hopefully there's a spot for him somewhere in the NBA because I think he's got quality character. And I think he can do more than what he was able to show in Brooklyn. So a little bit of a mini shout out for Harry Giles. But overall, if we're grading it, guys, how do we grade it? C+? Maybe if you're being generous, B-? You know, Corey Kanter asked me to sort of share some of his thoughts. He was sort of similar in terms of at least something was done rather than nothing. You know, DeJounte Murray was linked. Nick and I talked about that extensively. DFS for a couple of first rounders, that was talked about extensively. Nick Claxton being talked about. At the end of the day, it ends up being these smaller moves. And what does that indicate for the direction of this team? Look, I think it's that the Nets are just standing pat. You know, standing pat. And is that, you know, the right move, the wrong move? I think it's the wrong move because, you know, the moves that weren't made, I forgot to mention, was that Mikal Bridges, you know, will those 3-4 first rounders, Houston first round picks, be around the offseason come next year? Hopefully, maybe. And hopefully they have that wiggle room and flexibility to go for the star or to go for a rebuild. Despite what we've heard time and time and time again, a rebuild is an opportunity, a positive opportunity for the Nets to get some more assets and to build something organically, you know, with Cam Thomas and maybe Nick Claxton and some other guys. But the plan just seems to be get a heap of assets, roll, keep rolling with Mikal Bridges. But you're also hearing those leaks, I think, indicates that they might be trying to dip their toe in both waters. So, will Mikal Bridges be a Brooklyn Net long term? For now. But we'll see how the season does pan out. It seems to me that the Nets are going to be going after a Donovan Mitchell, trying to get him on the cheap and use some of the assets that they've acquired, maybe some of those Suns picks, etc. Some matching salary, you know, DFS, Dennis Schroeder, some other guys. Is that the right route? I think that the rebuild is the better route, but Josiah and Sean Marks have differing ideas to me and plenty of other Nets fans. I just want to preface this. If the Nets do land a superstar, do land some guys, and they are successful, I'll be ecstatic. While I disagree with some of the moves and some of the direction and the strategy about it all, I still want the Nets to be good, and I want to enjoy this team. And they haven't been very enjoyable for large stretches this year. Hopefully, post-trade deadline, there's some things to write home about, but we'll see how it does pan out for the Nets in general. Another little tidbit around Spencer Dinwiddie is that he is going to be there's now a new trade exception. This is by Yossi Goslin. So the Nets now have a $20.4 million trade exception, which will be good for 1 year. Now, whether the Nets use that, so that will, I think, replace an old trade exception. So they've got a couple, the Nets. I think there's a Joe Harris one as well. Not sure if the Nets use that. Maybe they can use that in acquiring a superstar. We'll see how it pans out with that. But in general, guys, you know, quiet-ish sort of deadline. So, you know, obviously Ben Simmons, his contract will be expiring. Cam Johnson, his contract can be used as well. So the Nets have flexibility in contract length and amounts. It'll just be the how patient is Sean Marks and Josiah. It seems to me that they want to maintain a level of relevance. Like, they're getting the gate tickets, they're getting that gate money. But are the Nets good? Are they enjoyable? They're stuck in this sense of malaise that where I've voiced pretty strongly on previous episodes about my disagreements with where the Nets are and where they're going. You know, things could change. I could be wrong. If the Nets are good, then all will be good in Buzzland. All will be good in Netsland. We just want the Nets to be good. A couple little questions that I want to discuss from some people who replied to me in a bit of a tweet. BK Netstand said, I'm probably the minority here, but why does Nets Twitter hate Marks and size so much? Wasn't the clean sleep worth a shot? What am I missing? I think it's now, as I alluded to, not going back in and using what we now have the opportunity to reset and then build organically, build forward. That's what I think the frustration is with Cy wanting to be this sort of mediocre team that sells tickets, etc., etc. And I understand that frustration. Frankie Tomara says, what's there to look forward to for the rest of the season? We won't make playoffs. We don't have any picks in this draft. Excite the fans, Jack. Reading on Twitter, Nets fans losing it. Cam Thomas is something that I'm excited about. Mikal Bridges, his continued growth. Nick Claxton, his continued growth. But outside of that, the Nets are going to be a play-in-ish sort of team. The growth of those guys. Some Lonnie Walker. Love me some Lonnie Walker time as well. And Daron Sharp in his return. Him showing something here or there. Noah Clowney. Jalen Wilson. Obviously, Tariq Whitehead's going to be out, unfortunately, for an extended period. Going through some injury rehab stuff. But yeah, there's things to look forward to. Are they lighting the world on fire? No. But there's a flicker, a glimmer, something like that. Yeah, nonetheless. Why isn't this team transparent with their fan base, says CH on Twitter. Look, I want to hear from Sean Marks or Joe Tsai in the media and just hear what the rationale behind their moves. Will we? Probably not. Do I want to? Yes. Do the fans deserve it? Some do. I think I would like that, but you know, we hear a lot of waffle and maybe you listen to credentialed reporters like Brian Lewis about what the Nets actually want to do. So listen to the right people and we already know what their direction is. But it'd be nice to hear from the horse's mouth itself. A giant taco seller, how much do you wish you were a fan of another team right now? I love the Nets, no matter what. I love them. But it'd be better if there was a better semblance of direction. So thank you again to Java Ghost and Hanorama, who were talking about, you know, Lonnie Walker and Dennis Schroeder liking those guys, and Cam playing some extended time at point guard. But in saying that, guys, I think that's it for today's buzz. An average sort of ish trade deadline, but it's reflective, I guess, of where the Nets are at and maybe where they're going and maybe what the rest of the season is going to be like. We shall see. Prove me wrong, Sean Marks, Josiah. Let's ignite this fan base. Let's get something excited. Let's get something going. And let's go Nets World. Let's get some wins on the board.